Good afternoon to all of you, and welcome to Redland Road. As Will said last month, after you sit through about 15 minutes of that singing and you have to give the lesson, I would rather sit there and hear you guys sing some more. You do a wonderful job, and it is wonderful to hear that singing. I'd like to thank the men who have provided the previous lessons the past few months, and I'm thankful to be standing before you today. I'd like to thank our elders and our congregation for hosting, and we're happy to have all of you here. You know, before I got up here, there was a common theme from folks who know me in the back. They're like, short lesson, short lesson. One person gave me the 5 B's of speaking. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but it was be brief, brother, be brief. So that pretty much says it, doesn't it? So I will try to get through this here. But, you know, the thing is, tonight we're going to be speaking on hope. Because the theme of this year's area-wides are the ones of Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. If you have your Bibles, please turn to that passage, and we'll read that before we get started. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This month, we will be focusing on the one hope. Hope is a word that rings throughout the halls of time. Every oppressed people fight because they have hope that they can make things better for the future. What is hope, though? Is it some wishful thinking? Illustration for you. A man approached a Little League baseball game one beautiful Saturday afternoon. Walks up to the dugout. There's a little boy sitting in the dugout. He said, "What's the score?" The boy turned around and said, 18-0, and we're losing. The man says, "Wow, you must be discouraged." Little boy says, "No need, we haven't got the bat yet." So he had hope. Now, that may be false hope, but nonetheless, he had hope. Hope is a confident expectation in something, a firm assurance. We know it, we believe it, we expect it, and we have no reason to doubt it. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight from the Bible. What are some of the things you hope for? Any Auburn fans in here? Our hope went down last night, didn't it? You know the amazing thing? It didn't affect today for me at all. That's something we need to keep in mind. We hope a lot of things on this earth that do not really matter. It didn't affect me this morning. It came to worship God. And thankfully, all the Auburn fans here worship God in spirit and in truth and weren't downtrodden about the game. But I know some folks who kind of get down, but we need to realize that's not really important. Those of you there in school, do you hope to make an A on that test you took? Do you hope to get into college that you want? Do you hope that I have a short message, as I said earlier, so we can go eat pizza? We're not having pizza tonight, by the way. We're having sandwiches, so sorry to disappoint you there. But here's the question of the hour. Do you have the hope that you will spend eternity in heaven? Where is your hope? Our hope should be in the Lord and nothing else. 1 Peter 3:15, can we answer or give a reason for the hope that is within us? The very sound of Jesus' name brings hope. In the Hebrew, it literally means God saves. He is Emmanuel, God with us. His birth was the moment that God came down to this earth, took on flesh, and became physically human, just like you, just like me, feeling all the things that we feel, hunger, pain, joy, suffering, loss, friends, enemies, emotions, and he did it all with one purpose in mind. He came here knowing that he was going to die to save me and you. Jesus is hope because Jesus is salvation. He was selfless in his love for us, and he brought us hope in reconciling us to God. Turn your Bibles to 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. We have hope as a New Testament Christian, because we are a child of the King of Glory. He's bestowed his love on us, that we should be called his children. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are made in his image, we know that, but in the last day we will see him. We'll see him as he is, and all the questions that we've ever had about God will be answered. Titus 2:13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you looking for his appearing? What if he came right now? If he walked through the door or came in, would you be ready? We know he's not coming back to earth literally, but in a sense, if he came today, would you be ready? Or are you hoping that he'll delay to give you time to get things right? If that is your hope, you can fix that tonight. You will have that opportunity. Titus 2:11, we have the grace of God that brings salvation. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Do we really comprehend what is being said there? All men. Sometimes we think about just here in America that God applies or salvation applies to us. It is for all men. That's why we are told that we are to go teach all the world, everyone. We all can have the hope of salvation through the grace of God. Everyone in this room can have the hope and expectation of heaven. No one is excluded. If we stop the lesson there, that would be something great to go home about, wouldn't it? That we all have the hope. Where we are going, there's no coming back here. Where we are going is a place that never ends, a place of joy in the presence of God. So, as I've heard said many times, for those of you that don't like singing, you're probably not going to like heaven. Because in the presence of God, there will be worship and praise. And I'm looking forward to that day, and I know you are too. No sickness, no pain, no loss. There can't be a greater hope than that for us. We all know folks who are struggling with health and are families that are in misery because of that. But in that day, there will be no more of that. Hope is something that has expectations. Titus 1:2 is a powerful verse. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. How many of you have been lied to by your friends or family or other folks? At some point in our lives, we all have or will have that happen to us. But God never lies. He will not lie. He will always fulfill his promises. Jesus said in John 14:1-4, this is a passage that's very familiar to all of us. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. God provides the hope that we need through his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we fail to realize how blessed we are that God loved us enough to send his Son to die for us. John 3:16, one of the verses that we all learned first as a child. But do we really think about it and think about it often? And do we think about it on days other than Sunday and Wednesday night when we're in worship services? We need to really reflect on what God has done for us and give him thanks every day. But many of us just carry on in our lives and we get caught up in the daily grind and we never give thought to what we have been given or how we've been blessed. We need to take time to give God thanks for his great love and the hope that we have through his Son. Unfortunately, many place their hope in worldly things, but the Christian knows the world cannot offer hope in a life without God. What is death to the atheist? I saw on a tombstone at Ripley's, believe it or not, or something about an atheist that said, all dressed up, nowhere to go. Because in his mind, there was nowhere to go. The end of this life was it. But, you know, if the total end of your consciousness or this life was it, maybe that'd be okay. But Revelation 21:8 says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So there is something after this life. And the atheist will find that out, just like all of us will, at the end of time. If we die outside of Christ, we have no hope. No matter what this world can offer, material things, prestige, or anything, it cannot offer you hope. Matthew 16:26. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? What will we give in exchange for our soul? There is no hope in the temporary things. They all pass away. Hope is a confident expectation in something. As I said, a firm assurance. We expect it. We know it. We believe it. And we have no reason to doubt it. God and His Word are the only thing that we can put our faith, hope, and trust in. Jesus said He is the only way to the Father. We can't get there by anyone else or any other way except through Him. We can't make our own way, and the world doesn't understand the concept of being obedient to God and His Word. It's interesting. This week, I was on a trip to Massachusetts, and one of my co-workers that was there with me, we were talking about I was going to look for a congregation to go to on Wednesday night for Bible study. And he said, what congregation do you attend? I said, well, the Church of Christ. There was only one in Massachusetts. And I looked them up on Wednesday, and they had small groups on Tuesday, so I wasn't able to go on Wednesday. But he said, oh, I was baptized in the Church of Christ. He said, I attend the Baptist church now because it's not really about what church you go to. It's about where you can find your conversation with God. And I said, that's interesting. I've never heard that or have read that anywhere. And he goes, well, it's about the feeling thing. And I said, I don't know about you, but my feelings get me in trouble occasionally. So hopefully it's opened up a door that we can continue to talk. But sometimes even folks who were members of the church at one time put their hope in things that are not founded, are not sound, that you can't find in God's Word. Our hope is in the one who made the world and everything in it. God provided everything we need to be able to understand what we need to do. You know, some folks say, well, it was the nails that kept him on the cross. I disagree. What kept him on the cross is knowing that we needed salvation, that we were lost in sin without his sacrifice. He came to bring hope. Where is your hope? Is it in him or is it in things of this world? 1 Peter 3:15 again. How do we give the answer for the hope that is within us? We must obey the gospel. You must be a Christian to have the hope that saves, the one hope. Without it, you're lost and you will have no hope, just as the atheist. You know, sometimes we don't give the invitation. We kind of go through it quickly. But tonight I want to cover everything on it in case there's someone here who needs to hear what we need to do to obey the gospel. We need to hear the word, Romans 10:17. I know all of you have heard it many times. This is not your first time in a worship assembly. And there may be someone who has heard it and wrestling with it, but understand that without obeying the gospel, you do not have hope. You must believe the word that you hear, Hebrews 11:6. You must repent, Luke 13:3. Turn completely from your sin and go in a new direction. You must confess, Romans 10:9-10. If we confess him, he will confess us. And you must be baptized for the remission of sins, 1 Peter 3:21, Romans 6, Acts 2:38. A lot of folks in the world stop at that step, but to have hope for eternal life, we must follow God's word and not man's in that regard. And we must live faithful, Revelation 2:10 and Revelation 3:5. Revelation 3:5 is an interesting text, and I ask you to read it when you get a chance or now if you have your Bibles. I came from a denomination background that believed once saved, always saved, and that you didn't have to live faithful to get to heaven. Revelation 3:5 says, if you remain faithful, I will not blot out your name from the book. Doesn't take a real smart person to say, well, what's the alternative? If you don't, your name will be blotted out. That was a really important verse for me in helping me understand the truth. If you have obeyed the gospel and received the hope but have strayed from the light, you need to return and be restored so you can know assuredly that you have the eternal hope that is offered through Christ. One day a Christian was in an alley doing something he shouldn't be doing. It could be alcohol, it could be a myriad of things. Another Christian saw him and said, you know you shouldn't do that. You know the Lord will see you. The first Christian responded, yes, I know the Lord will see me, but he won't tell everyone like you will. There's some truth in that, but what's the point of this story? The point is that the Lord sees all. And he knows and sees when we do wrong. We can hide it from ourselves. We can hide it from our parents. We can even hide it from our friends, but we cannot hide it from God. He knows when we have strayed, and his desire is that we return. He don't want any of us to lose the hope that he offers. Doesn't matter what you've done, you can be restored. Where is your hope? You can't have hope in anything of this world. It will all fade away. We have to have hope in the God above. I'll ask the question again. Do you have the hope of heaven tonight? If not, please respond if you have a need as we stand and sing.